Funny 16 presents.
Where are you going? Sorry, it just makes me feel nervous when he's like watching the call.
She-Hulk's film crew, who was on the first ever photo walk all the way back in August 2021, I think. And that is Holly, who you should know on Instagram by photoxcore_archive. Hello, Holly.
Hello, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here. I appreciate anyone on the show at the moment because the recording setup is a bit of a nightmare. It's 6:30 a.m. for me, and what is it for you, Holly?
Oh, it's in the evening, so it's about 8:30 here.
Okay, not too bad, but I'm probably a bit sleepy because I just woke up, and Holly's probably ready to go to bed soon.
Pretty much.
So, we're working with it. Let me introduce Holly a bit of what I know about Holly. Holly is a film photographer, not by trade, but by passion, right, Holly?
Definitely more passion.
I'm laughing because Holly's put some things on her stories recently, just like, why am I still shooting film? It's such a pain in the arse, da da da. But it's okay, we all have those moments. But yeah, you shoot a lot of film, you are well known for your, is it a Hasselblad you have? What's the little,
yeah, so
little cute camera you have?
Yeah, my Hasselblad, super wide angle. Yeah, my baby.
Yeah, it's so cute. It's like a tiny little cuboid thing that you always have on walks. And you take a lot of photos of mushrooms.
I do, yeah. I'm a bit of a like keen forager, but I mean I'm still
forager. No, I think it's so cool because I think it's two like quite niche hobbies that have come together, like it's a niche within a niche. I think it's amazing.
Thank you.
Anyway, before we get into things, let me ask you a few quick fire questions. You ready? Your dream celeb to photograph.
Oh wow, that was a tough one. I don't know. It's not really something I would have thought about.
What about you're going to a gig soon? Is that a famous gig?
It's just like death metal bands. I don't know. I think actually I would quite like to photograph Ryan Gosling, just because, like, quick story, I did kind of meet him many moons ago.
I remember this.
I took my Polaroid, one of my Polaroid cameras with me, and I didn't have the guts to ask for a photo. I don't know why, I kind of chickened out, and I really regret it. So I do not have a Polaroid of him. That I think that would have been pretty cool to have, in a non-creepy way, if you get me.
Yeah. I was thinking of saying Margot Robbie because have you seen the like Barbie photo book they've released?
No, I have not. I'll have to check that out.
So the Barbie hype train is probably coming to an end now, which is very sad, but the Oscars were like yesterday, so I think that's the last of the award shows. But her stylist who put together all the Barbie looks is releasing like a photo book of all the looks that weren't seen.
Oh, that's amazing.
And they're all with these like amazing designers of like Barbie looks she's recreated from like 1950s Barbies all the way up to the 2000s.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just think it's such a cool concept. I think Margot Robbie was so perfect for Barbie, and she's just had a lot of fun with all the Barbie looks. I think it'd be cool to just dress Margot Robbie up for the day. Next question. your favourite restaurant?
Oh, favourite restaurant. These are really hard. Like, super hard. I mean, I go through, like, phases of, like, certain, like, I guess, cuisines in a way. So, I mean, I guess most recently, I've always loved Vietnamese food, but most recently went to Cai Tre in Shoreditch. So there's one in Shoreditch and in Soho in London. But yeah, recently went there for actually for a belated Galentine's work do. So yeah, that was really nice. So we did that. Yeah. So yeah, Vietnamese, definitely.
Nice. I don't know what mine would be right now. I haven't been to a restaurant in a long time, so I'd be happy.
Do you have to cook your own?
Yeah.
I was gonna say, do you have to cook for yourself, or is there an on-site chef that you can kind of?
No, it's all ourselves. Sorry, it's just started torrential raining and I'm in like a tin shed, so it's not the best audio. There's nothing on the site, so we get our like Woolworths, which is the big supermarket here, get it delivered to the marina, and then our groceries come on a boat and we just cook. But we're gonna try and do HelloFresh next week, so that'll be fun.
Oh, is that like a meal prep things?
Yeah, where they just give you the ingredients, so it just takes the thought out of it. I was watching a TikTok the other day and they said one of the hardest things about traveling is like decision fatigue.
Oh, because yeah,
normally
in life you've just got kind of it all figured out, you've got your routine, you have this for breakfast or you go to work at this time, but traveling every single day looks so different, and having to make a decision every day even about what you want for dinner is just like, it can get quite exhausting.
Yeah, I definitely felt that when I was in Hong Kong. Mm. To the point where it's like, oh, there's actually almost like too much choice, because it's choice that like I normally don't get to have, so then I'm just,
yeah,
and then I panic and then don't actually probably order as much as I could or should, or yeah.
Yeah, it is hard, especially if you're just an indecisive person in general, which I definitely can be. Going to the mainland in a few days, which will be our first time off the island in like nearly 2 months.
Oh, so wow.
We're going to
eat out for breakfast, lunch and dinner, I think. The town's called Yeppoon. It's a 30-minute boat ride away. I've not really been there. From what I've heard, it's just quite a small like holiday town in Queensland. A lot of people come here to retire, so I think it's quite quiet but quite cute, hopefully.
Nice.
Yeah, it'll be nice.
That'd be exciting.
Last question, which I guess you kind of have answered for me in the past, but do it for how you're feeling today. If you were a man for the day, what would you do?
I think the whole the man spreading thing is still a big thing for sure, just taking up space. And I think, I mean, I don't know, like I've kind of quite happy being a woman.
Yeah,
you know, like, but yeah,
you said this and so did Chloe Faye Photo from Analog Meetups, and like you kind of did the same thing, and when she said it, it was like she felt guilty for saying it, and I was like, no, like that's what we want, that's how we hope everyone would feel, like,
yeah, we shouldn't feel shame
being in, yeah, if you feel happy being in a woman, which hopefully we all do, but you know, you feel like the world hasn't really mistreated you because of your gender, then that's like, that's what we're aiming for.
Yeah.
I think I would want to do like a male task in quotation marks. Do you want to do a male task? And like, I mean, something people stereotype as being male, like something that you need strength for, or you need, I don't know.
Well, like, I don't know,
something male.
Changing a tire. Or
yeah.
I would, I would just want to do it and just get on with it without anyone being like, are you sure you're right with that? Like, can you manage?
Do you need help? Do you know how to do it?
Yeah. Being here on the island, there's a lot of tasks that are very, like, manual, physical tasks. And to be fair, a lot of them I'm physically not strong enough to do. But I would like to be given the benefit of the doubt.
I mean, probably mentally you would be able to do it if you just put your mind to it.
Yeah, but I just find it interesting being here how we gender roles and jobs like that so much.
Like,
as soon as it's an organising job, it's like, right, girls go and do that. And as soon as it's a physical job, boys, off you go. But maybe I want to do the physical job, or maybe my boyfriend's really good at organising.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, he's probably not. But I was thinking about it a lot, like, if you play into these stereotypes all the time, they'll just become true because you don't give the people the chance to learn these other skills.
Of course.
That makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. That's how society is, though, unfortunately.
Yeah, but Aidan should go and organise the shed, and I should go and dig a trench, and then maybe we'll both learn something.
Yeah, why not? Also, why are you digging a trench?
So there's this big hill that whenever it rains, it forms a mudslide and sort of floods the cottages at the bottom with mud. So it's been like an ongoing project of trying to dig this trench for the water to drain through so it doesn't just become like a thing. Yeah.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, that's my life right now. Anyway, we were going to talk about today travelling with film, because Holly has done a bit of travelling recently. I've been travelling a lot this year, and for film photographers, I think it's something that causes a bit of anxiety, just the whole going through airports thing, and what do you do, what don't you do. I think there are so many opinions on it, and the right way to get through security and that sort of thing. So yeah, Holly, I just wondered, what have your experiences been on your recent trip? Or tell us about your trip as well.
So yeah, I went to Hong Kong in February during Lunar New Year. And so I flew through Heathrow, so Terminal 3. I tried to do extensive research on, you know, what to expect. And people were like, oh yeah. You know, a lot of the time it was just like, straight up, no, they're not going to check, you're not going to hand check your film. So I kind of felt like, oh yeah, that's probably going to happen with me. And yeah, I was refused a hand check. So, but luckily at Terminal 3, there are none of the new CT scanners. They look like all the old x-ray scanners. So safe for now. But I have read that Heathrow are just really behind on, you know, implementing the new ones. So, but they legally, right, they're going to have to implement them. I think it's by next year. Don't quote me, but yeah. So, but we are essentially, London Heathrow is quite behind. In comparison to like some airports, I believe, like in the rest of the UK and obviously mainland Europe. But yeah.
I think that's what makes it hard, though, like, with all these new CT scanners, is that a lot of it is just rumours, or you don't really know what airport has them, we're all just kind of guessing or hoping, and there's not kind of this database for film photographers of where's safe or tips for each airport. It's just kind of, for me, it's been like how it is on the day.
Yeah. Yeah, because obviously you're probably going between airports within Australia, aren't you? So
yeah, I mean, in Australia at least there's not a language barrier, so that's helped a lot. I can't really remember how it was in Heathrow for me. I feel like I've been to so many airports in the last few months, it's just kind of become a blur in my brain.
It's just something you don't really need to or want to remember, probably.
No, but what I normally do is have my film in a separate little clear bag, and I've got those ones that Kodak were trialling that say the do not x-ray and photographic film all over it, and that's been quite good actually. Although it's just like a clear pencil case, I think it looks somewhat official.
Yeah, definitely.
And
people take it a bit more seriously if they've got something to read, or even like analog held do cases that have do not x-ray printed on the back.
Yeah.
So that's helped. And I know when Kodak were trialing them, there were some people that had asked for them to put a few different languages on it, just so that when you go to other countries, like you don't have the language barrier to deal with. But for me, I think it's just been potluck on whether I have a friendly or a grumpy security person.
Definitely. I think also what's the main issue is, because like you said before, there's not like a set standard for checking film, like, you know, hand checking film or whatever. I mean, in my, like, me being naive, I guess, in the past, I've never actually asked for a hand check. And I've been shooting film, like, for a long time now. But I literally, this trip was the first time I've ever asked for it to be hand checked. So,
And what film did you have with you?
So I took 18 rolls of film with me, and
nice.
It was a mixture. I had some ISO 800, 200, 400. So yeah, it was a big mix. But yeah.
And did you put it all in one bag and ask them to hand check the whole thing?
So I didn't have one of those, like, do not x-ray bags, because I didn't kind of get one in time. Well, I didn't really look, to be honest, out of laziness.
Yeah.
So I just put it in, you know, in a sandwich bag, Ziploc bag, clear Ziploc bag. I did have, like, a sticker that said, you know, please do not x-ray. So, yeah, I basically asked, can I get my film hand-checked? And the initial person seemed quite, you know, like, receptive to it. She was like, yeah, I'll just go and ask my manager. And I was like, oh, okay,
we're in,
yeah. Gonna have to deal with someone else now. So I was like, okay, be prepared, you know. The manager comes over, and yeah, he was just giving me this weird spiel about, oh, like, oh, what ISO film is this? And I was like, oh, it's, you know, 800 and over, and whatever. And I kind of lied and said, oh, you know, they don't make film, you know, what was it, they don't make film over like 1600 or something, I don't know. I was just, you know, talking rubbish probably. But he was just like, oh, he was like, oh, you're kind of lucky because these are like the, you know, the old x-ray, so it's fine, you know. If they're like the new ones, then we'd just put it through anyway. And I was just like, well, yeah, then it would damage my film regardless, wouldn't it? So where he said just made no sense whatsoever. He really didn't care. And yeah, so my film went in, and I was obviously a little bit annoyed, but just because it's stressful flying. So that was more annoyed by that, because yeah, I hate flying. But then yeah, the whole I can understand from a safety point of view. You don't know who I am, you know, I could have something dangerous, I don't know. But yeah, I was quite disappointed. And because of that, I didn't even ask when I left Hong Kong if they could hand check my film. I was just like, I don't, at that point, I don't really care. And my film was fine. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't get all my film developed while I was in Hong Kong, because a lot of places were shut because of Lunar New Year. So I had to begrudgingly bring back, exposed film. So, yeah.
It's just a nerve-wracking thing. I mean, going through airport security anyway, I always just feel a bit tense.
Yeah.
And if you're like, for my partner, he's always through security before me because I'm waiting for my film. Talking to a security guard, like, it is just a pain. I've been putting all my film below 800 just through the machines, and it's the film that's above, so it's normally just, like, some Cine Still and Delta 3200 that's in the separate bag.
And
they've been all right, mainly, I think. I don't think I've been refused one.
Oh, okay.
I think if it has the 800 or 3200 right on it, they're like, oh, fair enough. What has been annoying is when you have it in the nice packaging and they say they have to see inside. And I'm like, but no, I need to make my aesthetic reel of opening the box.
Opening my content.
Do you not know? Come on, social media.
Do you not know who I am? So, yeah, that is annoying. And then when I was out here over Christmas, my friend was coming out and I asked her to bring the new Harmon Phoenix film. And she's not a film photographer, so I asked her to take it through security. And, I mean, that was quite a big ask, really, if you're not a film photographer. So if they even ask you, you don't know what to say. And they're, like, asking her, what's in the box? What is it? Da-da-da. In, like, some Chinese airport. I've forgotten where she was. And, yeah, she came back and was like, Emma, I'm not doing that again. That was so scary. Like,
aww.
It was so intimidating. But you just got to do it. You got to try.
But did they hand check it or not?
I think they did, but to be fair, that's a 200 film, so it probably would have been
all right.
But that's good that, like, she was able to persuade them.
Yeah. For me, it's just, like, the lack of consistency that you never know. I've got, like, a highlight on my Instagram and I've documented a few experiences of it happening, but at the same time, you shouldn't really have your phone out recording while going through security.
Yeah.
Like, even more suspicious. But it's the hyping yourself up to even say, excuse me, can I have a hand check? Like, you just feel, I don't know, I feel like I'm being so dramatic almost,
yeah,
or just a nuisance,
yeah,
by asking for their time, especially when there's a big queue building or something.
Well, I mean, when I went through, there was, like, no one, so I didn't feel bad in that sense, but you definitely feel like, yeah, you're, like, asking too much, or, like, yeah.
Mm. I wonder what it was like back in the day, like, when everyone had film.
Well, that's what
you
I mean,
think-
like,
they just...
But
yeah,
never did. That's what, like, I was saying before. I never actually asked for a hand check. I usually had film that I'd already started in my camera, and it would just go through the X-ray machine. Like, I never thought twice about it. Only until literally more recently, because people talk about it.
Yeah, maybe that is a bit of fear mongering with it, to be honest.
But I mean, but X-rays obviously, after time, can damage your film. So, like, obviously,
yeah,
if it goes through the X-ray machine, you know, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 times, then, yeah, that's potentially going to ruin
yeah.
the film, isn't it? So, I mean, some of my roles obviously went through twice, so that's not too bad, I guess. I actually did.
Yeah, I think that's okay. Because I never thought about it before I started working at Analog Wonderland, and we did a few blogs on it and I did more research, but it was kind of a mixed bag, like, hard to get consistent evidence or results because it depended on the airport you're at and the machines they had and how many times you're flying and if the film is in the camera, blah 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 blah. But I would say if you're just going on holiday from the UK to, like, Spain and your film's just going through the airport twice, it will most likely be fine. If it's below 800, like, don't even break a sweat about it. But when you're traveling kind of long term, then I would worry a bit more because you've got multiple airports and multiple security checks to go through.
Exactly. Yeah. There's so many different variables anyway when you're shooting with film. Like, you could already have like a really bad roll anyway, even before you go through that X-ray machine. You know, before it goes through that X-ray machine. So.
Mm.
Yeah. Like.
Yeah. When I was in Shanghai, so we stopped at Shanghai before Australia, and the security there is nuts. Every single underground station had an X-ray machine. And I was like,
you are absolutely kidding me. Like, and, you know, they're like these scary security guards with like guns and bloody baton things to beat you if you were out of line. Like, it was really intimidating there. Like, you felt like you were walking down the school corridor all the time. Do you know what I mean?
Like
there were teachers watching you and you had to be on your best behaviour. Like, there was no kind of nutters on the street. Everything was very, like, behave yourself and be sensible. So there was no way I was going to ask for a security check there. And, I mean, I don't speak the language anyway, so
yeah, that's pretty intense. That's intense security.
Yeah,
but I developed all those roles from Shanghai and I haven't had a problem, so it just makes me just confused, if anything. Like, where is this rumor from? Because I have seen blogs of people comparing their film that's been X-rayed and that hasn't been, and there has been some slight fogging.
Yeah,
but maybe it was the more intense machines, I don't know.
Yeah, because I've heard again, and you know, like, when I've just like, when you just kind of go in that rabbit hole of like going through Reddit of people saying, yeah, you know, like, oh, it's been through, so you know, such and such, yeah, how many X-ray machines, and it's like so bad or whatever. Or so, yeah, I don't know. Again, like, it's just like everyone experience is completely different, isn't it, like, every time.
Yeah,
so there's no like one kind of rule of like, oh yeah, this is gonna definitely happen. Or
yeah, I think that makes it hard with anything these days, because you can Google something but you're just gonna get like thousands of different opinions.
Exactly.
And it's not black and white. But I like to think that, you know, Ilford and Kodak and some of these big film companies are doing a bit of work towards it. I know Kodak releasing that kind of film bag was part of a wider thing.
Yeah.
That they were working with airports to try and kind of create a more universal standard.
Mm.
And I think that would be good, because I would say a lot of young people, I don't know what percentage, but bring, you know, a disposable camera or a point and shoot on their holidays these days. Like, I would say it's popular enough for there to be some kind of uniform rule book about it.
Definitely. I mean, I have noticed, as I said, when I was looking, searching online, I feel like in American airports, they're probably more screwed on in terms of like checking your film. So, I wish it was kind of a standardized thing of like, yes, we will do this, or no, we don't do that.
Yeah,
I guess it's just a time thing. Maybe they need a separate line for film photographers,
or just a general awareness of just like, just, you know, like, you know, it's people's livelihoods. You know, it's okay for me because I don't make money out of taking photos on film, but, you know, there are a lot of people out there that's, you know, it's their work, it's their job. So,
yeah.
For them, that must be even, like, really worrying and annoying. If they can't get their film hand-checked. But then I guess you see that again from that perspective of, oh, yeah, it's a safety thing. That's why, you know, they probably won't want to hand-check your film.
Yeah. I've had a few security guards that have been film shooters and we've had like a nice little chat.
Oh, cool.
But then you have
the other end of the spectrum and they're like, what is this? But what is it? I don't understand. And
they're just looking at the canister like,
what on earth?
Which is a shame.
A tip.
Yeah, it's annoying. I guess the tip could be is, if you know where you're going before, look up a film shop before you go there and look up a lab.
Yep. Definitely.
And do it all there, which can actually be a really fun experience to experience, like, go to different labs in other countries and and see how they do it, but at the same time other people are very particular about what lab touches their film and that sort of thing, so you might not want to do that.
Yeah, which is understandable, because I yeah, on the like kind of first part of my trip I did get a few roles develop, and I literally, it's just because the place was really close to where my cousin's place is, and they kind of messed up one of the roles, but it's because they didn't actually, it came down to it, oh shout out to Aga, but I showed her, I was like, just these like I don't know, marks where they've not cleaned the chemical, like the chemicals are dirty or something. I mean, obviously I don't really know much, but it didn't look right, and there was a lot of watermarks all over the scans. So I do speak Cantonese, but it's like very quite like basic, but I don't really, I don't know like terminology for like film photography and stuff in-
yeah,
I was literally like,
really, don't you?
I had to like bring my dad along, because he kind of knows a bit about like film photography. I mean, I guess he's kind of one of the reasons why I'm into it, but and I was trying to explain to my dad, like, can you explain to him, like, this is like, obviously I was just like in my kind of broken Cantonese telling the manager, I was just like, yeah, it's just like, it's really like dirty, like your chemicals are dirty, it's just like my scans look awful. I mean, he was really apologetic, because he was like, oh, I've never really seen this before, and I was just like, you've never seen dirty chemicals? I just thought it was really strange. But yeah, so he apologized, he said, oh, you know, I'll like scan them again. He re-scanned them, and I was just like, yeah, it's okay. You know, you're just like, oh, you obviously, I just felt like, oh, it's not my usual place, so yeah. And yeah, it was kind of like double the price as well than like the other places that I wanted to go to. They're all kind of more central Hong Kong, but I essentially kind of didn't really do my homework in terms of like, oh, actually going to Hong Kong during Lunar New Year is not the best time because things close. So yeah, so there was I did end up going to I think they're called Image Playground. And they have...
Oh, yeah, they were at the photography show, I think.
Yeah, so I went to the Wong Kok branch, and I was actually speaking to the staff there. They were actually really nice. Unfortunately, because of, like, Lunar New Year, their turnaround was a lot longer, so I didn't drop my film off because I was literally leaving the next day. And they were like, oh, you want your negatives? And I was like, yeah. As if that was a weird thing to want my neck.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, they were really nice in there, and there's a cat in there. I mean, the main reason I went to that shop because they had a cat, because I'd already sussed them out. But yeah, they were really nice. And again, because like I didn't really obviously know certain words in Cantonese, so bless the guy was trying to speak English, but he was like, oh, my English is really bad, so he was like with his broken English and my like crappy Cantonese, we were trying to like string a conversation. But no, yeah, shout out to that shop, they were really lovely though. So
cool.
And I bought all of their Cinestill because like it was much cheaper. I mean,
that's so cool though. It's one of my favorite things to see labs in other countries. I did loads when I was in Thailand last year, and I was sending it all to the Analog Wonderland group chat, and they're just like, Emma, you're meant to be on holiday, like, what are you doing in film labs? I remember finding one in, I think it's in Chiang Mai, and it was literally just in this, like, wooden shack with just a random old processor in the middle, and just it was such a mess, but I was like, whoa, this is so cool. I found another one in Bangkok, and the guy was so nice. I got my color film developed, and he made contact prints of all my negatives, which was just such a cool
like souvenir to have.
That's so nice. And he also had a little studio, and we did like a little mini photo shoot, me and my boyfriend, and had like a TLR camera, and what's the paper called? Like positive photo paper inside the camera, so then he could develop it straight away in the dark room, and we got these like lovely framed prints of the time there. So you can just find like little hidden gems, and I do think it's so cool how the photo community like stretches across the whole world. I went to another one in Shanghai. I was like desperately trying to find labs, and it was so hard because I forgot which way around it's like they don't like Google over there.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's banned, isn't it?
Google Maps was like blocked, and they had Apple Maps, but it was really kind of dated. I think this not besties of Apple either. They have their own, I don't know what software technology it is, but they don't seem to like either. I guess they're too American and Western. And this guy had told me a place to go, but he told me in Chinese, and he pointed at it on his map software, which didn't sync up with my Apple Maps. So, and he'd written it on this little scrap of paper, and we literally went on a hunt to find it. And it's just crazy in like a country like China, because you know, if you're in France and it's written out in French, you could maybe kind of decipher a few words because some words kind of match.
Yeah.
But if you're in China, it's literally like symbols that mean absolutely nothing to me. Like,
yeah, you don't understand the characters.
Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's completely something else. So trying to decipher like bus timetables and that is really hard. We couldn't use any Google or anything.
Did you, yeah, did you like, not get you a VPN? You should have got a VPN, then you would have...
I didn't even know or about it before. Like, we should have done some research, but I got there, I was like, I have no Instagram.
Yep.
I have no WhatsApp. It was really... It was a bit scary, to be honest. But we found this place eventually... And it was incredible. It was like a John Lewis for photography.
Oh, cool.
And they had
all these little shops. They had like a Leica and a Canon. They had a specialist Pentax shop. They had, what's that company that sells the little clips for your camera straps that just kind of clip off?
Oh, I have no idea.
Well, they had them. They had... all sorts of analog camera shops and collectors with all these kind of super vintage rare like rolly cords that were like
gold or in these
crazy colors, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I found this place. And then they had one little film shop at the very top, and it was just this cute little Chinese man and his family running this shop, and they had so much film, like jam-packed.
That's amazing.
And I was just absolutely in my element. So I mean, traveling with film is a pain, I guess, that little first bit of it, but once you get there and you're taking all your photos and you find these other things which are, you know, of the hobby that you love, like, it is amazing.
Oh yeah, it's definitely, there is some reward to it.
Yeah, and
you've taken some amazing photos from your trip as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I've still got a backlog, but
ones in the flower market that you posted the other day, they're just so cool.
Thank you. Yeah, so that was that it's like an infamous part of Wangkok. Yeah, so. And it was quite busy as well because of, again, like with Lunar New Year, so people were just like buying flowers to decorate their homes and whatnot. But yeah, there was a lot of like decorative orchid, and yeah, it was really nice. Pretty. They were so cheap as well. And I was just like, oh, I want to buy all these things that I'm like, but I'm going to be leaving soon. So yeah.
How, do you feel when you're traveling, like walking around with your cameras? Do you feel safe? Does it depend where you are? Like, how is that for you?
It kind of depends where I am. as you're aware, I'm not really into like street photography, but I felt more comfortable in Hong Kong, like taking photos of just people going about their business. I think because it was just so busy that like,
yeah, and it's a completely different street, like it's different culture, it's different everything, which is instantly more interesting.
Yeah, because we like if I was going out or anything and then coming back into like the town that's just kind of like closest to where my cousin lives, I'd just go and pick up some like food shopping or whatever, or just snacks and stuff, so it'd be, you know, like quite late in the evening, so I'd just maybe like take a few photos just before I got on the bus to his. So yeah, it was just kind of like, yeah, that I guess different environment, seeing things, it just being so, it was just, I mean, it's already a, you know, Hong Kong's a very busy compact place anyway, but I think it was even more busy because of Lunar New Year, people just like stocking up on their groceries before things were closing, you know, just buying bits and bobs. So
what cameras did you take with you?
So I took 3 cameras with me. I wanted to take more, but I had to limit myself because of obviously luggage and stuff and my back.
Yeah.
But yeah, I took the Hasselblad. I took the Olympus OM10 with me because that's, you know, like a safe bet. And then I stupidly took my Olympus AX2, which I need to fix again because the shutter.
Oh, you always have problems with that one.
It's because I've fixed it twice now, and I feel like I need to obviously pay someone to fix it for me. There's so much, you know, DIY I can do. So yeah, the shutter is it's too slow. So yeah. Oh.
I do love that camera.
It is one of my favourite pointer shoots. I should have really taken my Olympus AF1, but I was just like, because you know, it's one of those where the flash is just like automatic when it's like too dark, and it kind of annoys me a bit, and I wanted control. I should have just taken that because I know that worked, and whereas the other one I knew it was kind of hit and miss, and it was definitely more of a miss.
It's the choice of bringing like your boring reliable ones or your favorites that have a few quirks but are a bit of a risk in taking.
So then I only shot one roll on that, and then I just didn't use it at all for the whole trip.
Yeah, that seems a good mix of cameras though. I think a 35mm medium format and a point and shoot, that's everything covered really,
and it's a problem. Yeah. As you probably know.
No, it was such a hard choice. I had my X-A2 almost packed, and we were literally at the airport, and Mum saw that I'd snuck another camera in my bag, and she took it away from me. It's like, no, my baby. But yeah, it's just, it's hard because like you've worked so hard on your collection, and you're like, because I felt like I was effectively starting from scratch moving up here. I think one thing I regret is not bringing a camera with a timer.
Oh, is that why you wanted that timer thing?
Yeah. And my OM1 has a timer, but that just felt a bit more precious to me. And my Pentax K1000, I really like it, and it's super easy, and I feel confident in it. But the timer thing has been a bit annoying. I think if you want to take pictures with other people, or because I love taking photos, obviously, but I kind of resent getting home and everyone else having lovely pictures of them, but I don't have any of me. It's just the curse of being a photographer, though, I guess. So I bought this little timer gadget. I'm not really sure how to use it yet. Apparently you have to be quite careful with the thread when you put it in, because it's quite aggressive and you can damage the shutter over time. Oh,
okay. So you put it as if you're using like a cable release, right? It's like, isn't it?
And I got a longer cable release as well, so I'll try that too. I wanted to talk to Holly as well about the last thing, which is our IWD Frame the Grain charity print sale. Holly kind of volunteered to help me, but I've also just thrust things on her.
I'm happy to help, though.
She's helping, but I've been kind of spamming her with, like, questions. I just... Yeah, you've been, like, my sounding board for the last few weeks, which I really appreciate. So I think Holly's going to help with tracking the donations as they come in, which I'm hoping there'll be lots, but we'll see. Holly, do you think you'll want to print any photos that you took on your recent trip?
Maybe? We shall see. As I've told you before, yeah, I feel like I have not at all perfected the art of printing because it's hard. Like, the colours, obviously, colours are so much different on your computer screen than when you print.
Yeah, I think you are, like, a major perfectionist, though.
Sometimes. That's why I don't do certain things, because I'm just like, no. Yeah, I guess I gotta learn to get over that.
You should print some of them. I love that one in the flower market. I think that was just such a cool photo. But so you're not someone who's, like, particularly printed their work before?
Well, I mean, I have. So, like, during, like, COVID, I did some charity prints for, I don't know if you've heard of Sister Space. So they're, like, a charity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who provide support to African and Caribbean heritage women affected by domestic and sexual abuse. So I did some, like, yeah, I got some stuff printed, and then, yeah, I gave them the money. I think I made about £100, which was kind of cool, because...
Oh, nice.
They were quite, you know, like, A4 prints, and I found... So I think I must have used, like, one of those, like, Vistaprint or something silly, because it was cheap at the time and just really accessible. Mm. So, yeah, so then I could make maximum profit to give to the charity.
Yeah.
But no, in the past, like... as you know, I studied photography, so I did a lot of, like, colour darkroom printing, but I've not done that since. But yeah, I really don't print my work anymore, just because, I don't feel happy with or confident enough.
Oh, I'm hoping this print sale can just kind of reinvigorate some people to print their work and be, like, a confidence boost, because, I mean, I'm kind of similar to you. I haven't printed my work that often, especially not colour prints. I think I did a few for, like, presents for people, but the thought of selling my work has always been like, oh no, I'm not good enough, or I'm not ready for that, or I can't.
Yeah, it's a big deal, really, isn't it? And,
like... Yeah, it does kind of feel like the final step as a photographer. Like, you have to be kind of super ready for that. But I think, you know, anyone should print their work. It doesn't have to be like this huge deal. You can get a decent A4 print for probably about like £12 or £15, like physically printing from a printer's, I mean. And in the grand scheme of things, that's not, you know, it's not a huge amount, and you might print your work and think, oh, actually, like, that looks amazing, and see your work in such a different way, because I think especially with film, you literally just get the scan and then it just lives on your phone. And
pretty much.
And I think if you print it, especially in like a big size, you can just appreciate the format so much more, like appreciate the grain and all the details and like the quirks of analog film. And yeah, I just think it's such a nice thing to do, and I hope this print sale can encourage people to print their work. And if you're gonna print it, your work ever, this is a very good opportunity to do it, because it's all for charity, and the money, you know, is all, you know, it's all going to a good cause. So I don't think you have to feel like, oh, I printed loads of work to sell and I've made a loss, because it's not really about that. You're just raising money.
Yeah.
So you're gonna take part, Holly.
Yes.
We've both talked at length, like, since I've known you, about, you know, female photographers and, like, inequalities in the industry and that sort of thing. I mean, it's a huge topic with a plethora of issues, but do you think things have improved in the community, like, since you've been in it? Have you seen positive changes?
I guess, yeah. I've met a lot of people, obviously, including you. And yeah, I see, like, change, but I just also, there's a lot of people out there who feel that, like, we hate men and et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, well, it's not that equity, really.
Yeah.
Don't we? You know, we just want to be seen.
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember the statistic, but I think, especially when I was at uni, like, my photography course, we were all made up of, like, you know, women, or, you know, identified as women, but at the end of the day, all the, like, men would be, you know, getting all the photography jobs or etc., you know, doing really well in photography. So I don't think things have really changed in terms of, like, the attitudes I've seen of people, like, commenting on, you know, social media and such. So I don't know.
Yeah,
I think we've still got a long way to go, I think.
I was talking to Chris Faulkner about this and saying it did really confuse me, because I did an arts course as well, and my course was majority women, and then you get out into the industry and you're like, where has everybody gone? And it kind of flips on its head, and it's all men. And I think the film community in general is a really positive place, and there are a lot of people really fighting for change, but within that, it can become a bit of like an echo chamber, because you only surround yourself with, like, these lovely positive people, and which is obviously a good thing, but I think it makes you feel like, oh, everything's like absolutely lovely and wonderful and da da da. But if you were to get out of the film photography community into the wider actual industry, you'd probably see where the actual real work needs to be done.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess you've got to rely on people within the industry to make things better, and if people aren't speaking out, then it's not going to change, is it?
It's a difficult one, but I like to think, you know, you've got to start somewhere, and if we can change our little corner of the world, hopefully those ideas can spread somehow. I mean, everyone who's in film that we know, like, probably has another full-time job in a completely different field of work, and if they're taking those ideas to where their workplace and so on and so on, I like to think that it would be this kind of maybe very slow but snowball effect.
Yeah, there's hope, I think.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
So this print sale, throughout March now, hopefully people are posting their work. The posts are trickling in slowly. I think some people like you are probably feeling a bit nervous, or like, oh, my work it's not ready to be printed and that sort of thing. But I really want to encourage people to take part. And then the actual print sale is going to take place on the bank holiday weekend, so that's when you can buy people's work, and we're suggesting a minimum price of £10 for the print. I think it just takes a bit of the decision away and makes it a bit more accessible for everyone to be able to take part and buy something as well and donate to charity. I'm excited. Are you excited, Holly?
Yeah. It'll be good, and also be like a good chance, yeah, with that hashtag, IWD frame the grain,
mm-hmm.
Just yeah, a chance to see work that probably never, you know, not seen before. So new work to see, and hopefully like follow different photographers.
Yeah,
so, yeah, I think
definitely.
it's good positive thing.
It's a nice chance to diversify your film feed, hopefully follow some new people, and give your photography a bit of a boost. If you're feeling in a bit of a rut, maybe think, you know, what could I print, what would look good in print, what would I like to see as a print. It's a chance to get some artwork for pretty cheap as well. You could get some amazing photos in this kind of, you know, an accessible way to buy art, which is another positive thing about it. And there are so many amazing charities. I found it so interesting kind of researching charities people could support, and I think I was talking to Graham about this, like a lot of the time it's only the big charities that you hear about because they've got the budget for like a marketing campaign, whereas these smaller charities, if they get money, they're not going to use it on marketing because they want it to actually help the people that they're fighting for. So I think it would be nice for people to find charities in their local area, or maybe smaller ones, more kind of grassroots charities, and make a big difference. You know, if you sent 50 quid to like cancer research, it probably wouldn't go that far. I mean, it'd be a lovely donation, but if you donated 50 quid to, you know, your local charity on the high street that's raising money for women in your area, it might go quite a long way.
Definitely, yeah, that definitely makes sense, because, you know, probably a lot of people donate to cancer research through like marathons and etc, don't they? And they have shop, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So I've put together this big kind of information pack with all the questions and things people were asking me. That's on the Grainsplaining link in bio. So check that out if you've got any questions. I think it will only be a few days until the print sale starts once this episode goes out. You'll have all been to the photography show by then as well, and I've sent Graham some Grainsplaining stickers, so go and track him down, and he's hopefully going to be there with a big pink banner telling people about the print sale. So yeah, please spread the word. I am trying my best. I'm reaching out to labs and other people to help me, but I think because I haven't been that active on the Grainsplaining Instagram in a while, the engagement is quite poor. Thank you, Instagram. So please help share if you can. Cool. Holly, any other final words to get people to get involved?
Yeah, just I guess sift through your computers or even take new photos. Like, we've still got time. So yeah, spring is here, I think.
Yeah,
I was talking to Katie about this. It was like darkroom Katie. All the photographers, I feel like they come out the woodwork in March. Like, this feels like there's so much going on. Like, Katie has analog photo exhibition she's organizing. I know there's been lots of stuff happening for Women's Month, and just people seem to have all these projects on the go, and for January and February I feel like we're all just in a winter hole, like there's no sun, we can't do anything,
hibernating.
Yeah, March feels like an exciting time, so I'm happy to be part of it.
Yep, same. Hopefully I'll get more out and about.
Yeah, I think just as soon as the days get a bit longer, I mean, I've got lots of sun here.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You guys.
I'm rooting for you. Although the days are really short here, which I didn't really appreciate, I think time zones confuse me so much. But in the UK summer, you have like really long evenings.
Yeah.
But here it still gets dark at like 6:37.
Oh, really? Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do think UK summers are special in that sense, you know. Drinking in the park till 10 in the evening. Good old British culture. You can't beat it, really. Okay, Holly, well, thank you so much for chatting to me and spending your evening with me. And I really appreciate all your help with organising the print sale. Fingers crossed we raise lots of money. Do you want to shout out any female photographers while you're here?
Yeah, so I guess maybe more well-known photographer that I really like, I absolutely love her work. I'm probably gonna butcher her name though, but it's Rinko Kawachi. So she's a Japanese photographer. Definitely check out her work. And then I guess just in terms of like friends, obviously you, Aga, Carly, But yeah, can't think of any more off the top of my head at the moment.
Many.
But yeah, there's just so too many to mention. But yeah, you know who you are.
And so, thank you so much for being here, Holly. Follow Holly. She's got a long handle. I wanted to ask you actually, where did your handle come from?
So I still do have it, a Flickr account, but obviously like that people moved away from using Flickr for like photography and stuff. But I just somehow, this was when I was like I think 16, 17, I came up with like, I guess you could call it a pseudonym, like a photo core, so without the X, and then that just has stuck with me. So yeah, I'm just known as Photo X core. But someone actually at a gig like years ago actually came up to me and said, "Oh, you're Photo Core," and I was like, it was really quite embarrassing.
That's so weird.
Yeah, I was just like, I don't know who you are, but they obviously like followed me on Instagram, and I was like,
That's cool though. I do always find it confusing at meetups when you meet people and I'm like, but what is your real name?
Yeah,
because some people just have their handle and they don't have their name in their bio, and I'm just like, hello Mr. Negative 99. Like, yeah, cool. Well, everyone definitely go give Holly a follow. You can please follow us, you should be already, at Grainsplaining. And if you have any questions about the print sale or just want to get in touch, our email is grainsplaining@gmail.com. My handle is EmmaJLloyd_. Holly, thank you so much for being here. Everyone, get involved in the print sale with the hashtag IWGFrameTheGrain. Yeah, that's it. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Holly.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.